We all learn together. That's both the core idea and the English translation of Ilasikatevut, an Inupiaq language learning class that had its second gathering in Nome earlier this month. I'm Gabe Colombo. In this episode of KNOM Profiles, we're diving into a movement to reinvigorate the Inupiaq language, an effort that's about much more than the words. Inupiaq phrases fill the air on the third floor of Norton Sound Regional Hospital. There's a wide view out across Nome to the sparkling blue sea and bright green summer tundra, the ancestral homeland of the Inupiaq people.
If I was at the post office and I saw some old guy and I said, Naguben, he would know what I meant.
Uh-huh.
Naguben.
Uh-huh.
That's like, how you doing? Naguben. Yep.
The hospital is completely shut down while employees take the morning off to learn and teach each other some basic Inupiaq vocabulary. That includes people like Reba Lean. She's the public relations manager at Norton Sound Health Corporation, or NSHC. And she says the session isn't just for fun.
Normally, if we need a translator for our patients, we can call upon their family members or someone in the hospital who speaks that language. And it'd be nice to at least just have some greeting phrases in our vocabulary to share with our patients who don't necessarily speak English.
She says it's also eye-opening as someone who grew up in Nome but isn't Inupiaq herself.
You say things like Kugarok Road, and you say things like Kowerik a certain way, but that's not necessarily how they were intended to be said. And so that was interesting to learn how to say things a little more correctly.
This particular morning at NSHC is just one component of the two-week-long class for second language speakers, people whose first language isn't Inupiaq, like Cordelia Kelly.
So my family's from Wainwright, Ololunuk, and that's a village that's 90 miles southwest of Utqiagvik.
Kelly's Inupiaq name is Karunya. She founded Ilasikatevut a couple of years ago with her friend Bathluk Reed Magdance.
We both had a lot of interest in the language. We kind of heard it kind of growing up, but we didn't really know how to make the sounds. We didn't really know how to say anything in the language, and we thought, why don't we just get together and study it? And furthermore, let's see if anyone else wants to study it with us.
That led to a year-long language study group in Anchorage. And then last year, the first official Ilasikatevut in Inukjiagvik. This year, Kelly says 20 people, half from Nome and half from other parts of Alaska, convened to develop their language fluency together, with the more experienced speakers helping the newbies.
Everyone has to take responsibility for our language. Everybody has a role. One thing we say, too, is that you don't have to know everything to teach a language. You just have to know more than the people that you're teaching. And that way, everybody can progress together, hand in hand.
Kelly says the bread and butter of the class was intensive grammar workshops with fluent speakers. They also participated in activities out in the community, like the hospital workshop, and they spent a few days out at the village of Solomon, immersing in Inupiaq out on the blooming summer tundra.
Our language comes from the land, right? And so you're putting the language back in context. It's different when you're learning it in a city than when you're out there on the tundra. And so there are some concepts that we made sure that we hit.
She explains one concept that doesn't really hold up in English.
So in English, we say there. Where? There. But when you're looking out on our tundra, that doesn't always work. It's vast, often kind of flat. So when you say that tutu, what tutu, over there, where, right there, like that doesn't really work. But in Inupiaq, there's so many different ways to say there, whether it's, you know, up above, whether it's up above invisible, whether it's, you know, through a door and you can see it but you can't hear it.
There's another factor that adds to the complexity: the many different local dialects of Inupiaq. Kelly says at Ilasikatevut, they welcome each unique flavor.
Learning an additional dialect doesn't detract. For what you know, it's very additive because it's another way that you are able to connect with that person and be language rich. Our people have always known multiple dialects.
For instance, there are even slight differences between the Inupiaq spoken in Nome and in White Mountain. But these dialects can also be a vehicle for community building.
Yes, we do have a variety of dialects, but it's what we have in common that's going to be our strength. And while there may be some different sounds, it may be some different phrasing or different words entirely, it's still the same language.
And that brings us to the bigger picture. how language can help build a Inupiat identity.
When you say pardon me, it's about me. Excuse me, I'll push you aside. Pardon me, excuse me, I can push you.
Richard Atuck is leading a large group session at the hospital.
I'm saying in our language, we resemble me. It's about you. I want you to know I didn't mean it. I didn't do it on purpose.
He's an elder originally from Wales and lives outside Nome now.
Our language tells our history. Our language is complete. Our language is intact, and it's something that it tells us who we are. And I have been concerned with seeing young people in Anchorage, young Native people from the villages walking around and not really knowing who they are.
He says speaking Inupiaq is also a means of owning Inupiaq culture in a westernized world.
Our social and political system have been developed over thousands of years. America has been around for only 300, right? We go back thousands of years, multiple thousands of years, and it makes sense that we have developed ways of living together, ways of being. If you look at it, just starting with the fact that we didn't have jails, for instance, we didn't have insane asylums, we did not have a lot of things that are in the West right now. Not that we're the best, but we do have something to offer.
Elders like Atuck have been working with the Illicitivut students during their 2 weeks. Organizer Cordelia Kelly says she hopes to expand the master apprentice component in the future.
There's absolutely an expectation that those who are beginning this year become the teachers for next Illicitivut. And those that are teaching group two next year, maybe they have time with master apprentice. Like, there's the expectation that we're not going to stay in the same place and that we are expected to progress.
I asked Kelly what her vision is for the result of that progression.
We expect a bunch of people to be fluent in the language within 10 years. That's the goal.
She says that goal is very personal, too. She tells me about a time she was singing and trying to learn hymns in Inupiaq, and she finally got some of the tricky sounds right.
It didn't sound like me. It sounded just like my aka, and it sounded just like my great aunt. And in that moment, I realized that I didn't want Inupiaq to only exist in my memory, because I really closely associate Inupiaq with memories of my family and memories of fluent speakers that I've loved. But I don't want it to just be in my memory. I want to hear it into the future as well. And I want to create new memories with Inupiaq. And I want my nephews and future members of my family to also have the opportunity to hear that in their childhood and have that connection to family that I have with our language.
At the end of the hospital session, something like 200 people are singing in Inupiaq about the parts of the body. This is practical for healthcare, but it's also a reminder that until Illicitivut reconvenes in Kotzebue next summer, language will continue to be there. On the Ukok, the tongue, and in the Umman, the heart. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Gabe Colombo.